You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jaffco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Well, we sure got a glimpse into the future this weekend. The Mike Salk Show here on 710 ESPN Seattle, 710sports.com, 710 Sports app. What's up? Well, Monday morning, leading up to a Monday night football game tonight. Coming off the opening of Climate Pledge Arena for hockey on Saturday. It's a pretty good time to be a Seattleite. Justin, Moore, everybody here today.
Only run on a couple cylinders, but yeah.
Yeah, so let's see if we could take a little roll call of where everybody's at. Justin, still in day two of recovery after a long night Saturday after the game. The three of us went to the game together with my lovely wife, Heather. And I left as the game ended. Justin and Maura decided to go out for some fun afterwards. And Justin seems like he continued to have fun.
Yeah, I had a drink. I had to get home to my dog. Justin continued the fun.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
I was like, hey, with Lefko from Wyman and Bob.
No,
this
whoa.
Is an historic
power,
night.
Power duo.
It was his birthday. I was like, well, let's go, Mike.
Okay. and I'm imagining that the scene in Queen Anne, or excuse me, Uptown, after the game was pretty happening.
It was quite.
Yeah.
Every spot that we went to, which should have just been one, but
right.
There were several.
Okay.
Was packed, and everybody was still in all their cracking
good.
Gear and excited. Nobody
nice.
Seemed to be bothered by the loss.
No.
It was just an exciting time to be out.
Well, that sounds good. I fell asleep watching TV, so it's nice to hear that you did a little better than I did.
Man, that empty netter happened, and Salk was like, see you later.
That has been my policy since forever. The other team scores an empty netter, you get up and go.
Oh, really?
Game over, see you later, no reason to wait, get out, beat traffic, see ya. And by the way, I was home 10 minutes after I left. It was no traffic
impressive.
At
okay.
all. Cruised right down Mercer. See you later. Lights all synced up in my house. Paid the babysitter. Done. It was great. And honestly, I would have stayed longer if it wasn't for the babysitter. Like, you gotta let people get home. It's not
sure,
fair to
fair.
Like
that's
a
fair.
You know, high school freshman.
Especially with the weather that was coming.
Yes. So Justin barely functioning today, or at least on half your cylinders?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Running on a couple cylinders.
All right. Poor Maura has not had power in like 24 hours or so now.
Yeah.
So
did my makeup in the somewhat dark, you know,
oh.
just like the emergency light that I have.
Is that where
I don't
that streak across your forehead
appliances
came from?
For my hair. So, yeah, just don't pay attention to me today.
Okay. Poor Maura.
Oh, I feel bad for Bruin, too.
We were talking. I came home yesterday. My daughter, Avery, who's 9, had put lipstick all over her mouth, which does not look good on a 9-year-old ever, which was fine. I was like, you really have to take that off. You're creeping me out. And she's like, okay. And then she was asking my wife if she could put it on her eyebrows. I was like, yeah, no. That you definitely can't do that.
She looked like the Joker, just smeared
know,
everywhere.
It wasn't good. It was a tough watch. So poor Maura, no power. Justin did it to himself.
Yeah, I don't deserve any.
That's kind of where we're at. What did you guys think? What were your initial impressions of Climate Pledge and walking around and just being there? People, it was an early crowd, man. People got there early to walk around. We were there at 5:30, 5:40, something like that, before 7 o'clock game. What'd you think?
Blown away by every single possible metric there could be. I mean, the ease of getting in, like it
yeah.
was just efficient. Everything was smooth and efficient and quick. Loved it.
Yeah.
And it was just beautiful. Just looking, I mean, from just right when you walk in, there's graphics of like the ocean and fish floating around and all, you know, everything sparkly and
the
brand
living
new.
Wall.
I'd never been to the Old Key.
Oh,
so
well,
I
you really missed out.
Don't know the comparison, but I mean, it's definitely state of the art.
Have you ever gone to prison?
Yeah. No,
kind
I haven't.
Of a similar aesthetic as going to prison.
You used to be my manager, wouldn't you know?
Have you been in the parking garage?
Yeah, that's actually a better one. Much more some prison. I don't know anything about prison, but yeah. So parking garage is a great comp. Key Arena looked a lot like a parking garage with all the cement and then just sort of the like, just sort of like dingy looking hallways, poorly lit. Key Arena, and I was never at it when it was the Coliseum before
okay.
that, but. But it was, it did. It absolutely had a parking garage aesthetic. This looked like stepping into the future, man.
I wasn't sure.
I loved it.
For the roof, I was, I don't know. When I heard they were preserving it, I was like, okay, like that doesn't mean anything to me. And then I walked up to it and I was like, oh, I get it now. Like this is it kept the same aesthetic, but everything, all the guts were brand new.
Sure. Yeah, it kept on the outside, right? It had some of the same vibe and you had the.
You don't have to fall in love with a new. Building
an entirely new building
yeah.
and I kind of like that because the problem with new buildings is they can start to feel kind of generic Like, oh yeah, all of these new arenas all kind of look the same, and they have the same plastic and the same this and the same that. And I did not get that sense at all. You got some of the history left over for, with the roof, and I wasn't necessarily a fan of them doing that, but upon seeing it, you're like, oh, you know what? This totally worked, and they added a lot more glass around it. There's some really cool features. In the north end of it, you can actually see in from the windows, which I think is incredible. You could see all the way down onto the ice, I would think.
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet. I thought that was really, really great.
There's people watching outside because you could see the big screen.
Yeah.
Too.
So that was really cool. And you're right. All of the kind of ease of moving around, especially for the first night, I thought was incredible.
Yeah,
it was
blown away.
Super modern, super easy, tons of entrances. I'll also say this, and all along I've kind of felt like, yeah, the stadiums would have been best in the stadium district, right? Like put another one down there, and now all of a sudden you got football, baseball, hockey, basketball, etc. Everything all in Soto. That really would have been great. But I will say walking out afterwards into Seattle Center was really cool. It was different.
It's going to be cool for visiting fans to walk out and like, there's the needle.
Right. And I like that there are different vibes associated with going to different sporting events. And I know that that's always going to be true anyway. Like a Sounders crowd is going to be different from a Mariners crowd, from a Seahawks crowd. So even though the Sounders and Seahawks both use the same building, it's a different vibe in and around that stadium for both games. I understand that. But walking out into a completely different part of the city. And by the way, a part of the city I don't go down to enough at night anyway. I used to live right by Seattle Center. I love that area. Wendell misses it. He used to love. He had a special spot where he pooped every day. Like we knew Seattle Center perfectly.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Then that spot is still being used, but now it's by different people to poop there.
So sad.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to deal with that a little bit. But when you come out and see the lights and the and just sort of that, especially in the winter, the way Seattle Center gets lit up and decorated, I loved it. I thought it was great having a totally different feel walking out of the game.
It was nice because when you leave the other stadiums, you feel like you're just immediately trying to dodge cars. And it doesn't really feel that way at Seattle Center. There's a lot more sprawling campus.
Yeah, you're in the middle of a park, right? I mean, like you're in the middle of one of the biggest parks in the city. Rather, that's a really good point. Rather than walking right out into a area where there's cars everywhere or into a giant parking lot like you get in a lot of other arenas and stadiums that are kind of out in the suburbs a little bit. There were a lot of really cool elements to it. It's too bad the team couldn't have delivered with the win, but taking the lead twice at least gave fans that opportunity to see what it was going to be like. And you know, we had great view where we were sitting. The view we had of both Kraken goals was like perfect. It was like the shooter was directly between us and the net. So you just had a perfect view of the puck heading straight in.
Those were nice goals too.
Beauties. I love the first one. I thought Dunn just came right in, picked the corner. Yeah. That was an absolute rocket.
They cleaned a lot of stuff up that game.
They did.
It is unfortunate that they couldn't get the win. They still seem to have some kind of issue with the third period.
Yeah, they're not. Well, it seems like they lose all their aggressiveness and they want to just kind of,
yes,
you know, sit down and kind of wait. It's like almost a prevent defense trap kind of a thing. And
yeah,
it does not seem to be working very well. The one thing that we have heard from folks who were disappointed, and there's a text here about it from the 253, which is that the intro was not spectacular. So I saw Tim Leiwicki saying, all right, maybe they're, you know, he's saying, well, the first night was about history and then the future will be more about kind of some of that pomp and circumstance
pageantry
and the big pageantry. I think that's probably part of it. If I had to venture a guess, and I don't have necessarily any information, they might not have been ready. They just got into that building for the first time, what, a week ago? And they had two shows during those few days they were there. They might not even have full use of all of the capabilities of it yet. They just barely got this thing finished in time. Congratulations to them. They did, and it went off without a hitch. And I actually kind of didn't miss the big intro. I thought it was great. It was a focus on hockey.
Well, how about the star power?
Star power was fantastic. Russell Wilson, Macklemore, yeah. Bobby Wagner, DK Metcalf.
Sue Bird. Ann Wilson. That made you happy?
Can we just talk about how great Ann Wilson was?
Wow.
It was a pretty good anthem.
Yeah.
After hearing it and seeing her, are you kind of on board with her doing the
All-Star game?
There we go. All right. It is 6:10 here. We'll tell you everything you need to know coming up in just 5 minutes, including how we heard from a former Seahawks coach last week who sure seemed to speak from experience about how the Seahawks needed to adapt and everybody went running wild with it. Then I watched his defense this week, and now I'm not sure we should be listening to him about anything at all. That story and a whole lot more. We'll tell you everything you need to know coming up here in a few minutes. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You ready?
This is the Mike Salk Show, serviced by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Are you ready?
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Are you ready for a good day?
Yeah, Maura did not care for the first 10 minutes of this show. She's forcing us to start over. So yeah, guys, that wasn't good.
I'm having a hard day.
I feel bad.
I'm just kidding.
Can you sleep
that
well?
That was just a mistake.
Can you sleep well though when your power's out? Nobody can. Like, I feel like I'm constantly nervous when the power's out. Like I my alarm might not work. Things might not be charged.
Yeah, I was hoping I had to go sit in my car and charge my phone, and I was hoping that I thought I had a pretty good charge, but I was like, this is the only way that I'm waking up.
That's
so hopefully
right.
You're nervous when you have to wake up super early anyways that you're going to oversleep.
Ugh, there's no way to live. Well, all right, we're starting over, but it's also time for Need to Know.
Need to Know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, one game left on the NFL schedule this week, and it'll be right here in Seattle, Washington. Seahawks and Saints tonight, 5:15 start, and once again, it'll be Geno Smith under center for the Hawks. Injury report, not too bad either. All the injured guys, at least questionable. That includes Alex Collins, Damian Lewis, Daryl Taylor. All have a good chance to play, and Pete even indicated that Alex Collins would be likely. How cool would it be if Taylor can go after watching him be carted off just 8 days ago with the neck issue? That would be a really, really great sign. With the division continuing to win, the better teams in the conference doing so as well, I would say this is a must-win game for the Seahawks, so pull out whatever stops you can. You've got to find a way to win this game. Taking a quick look around the division, Cardinals now 7-0 after turning on the Jets in the second half and just wiping out the Texans. Big debut for Zach Ertz.
Wide open, he hit Zach Ertz. Ertz, 15, 10, 5, touchdown Arizona.
Yeah, they just continue to roll offensively, defensively, you name it, they look great. Rams get a scare from Detroit, but don't worry. Yeah, Jared Goff threw a huge fourth quarter pick in the end zone that cost them a chance to pull off the upset. LA improves to 6-1 on the year. Cooper Kupp, 156 yards, plus a pair of touchdowns. Colts win the battle of the two teams the Seahawks have actually beaten this year. Jonathan Taylor runs for over 100 yards. Jimmy Garoppolo threw a couple of picks, including a big one late. Excuse me, college results on Saturday. UW coming from behind to beat the hapless Wildcats in Tucson. An ugly game and should do nothing to quiet the chatter around this coaching staff and its future on Montlake. Meanwhile, Wazoo falls to Utah.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Got our first look inside Climate Pledge Arena on Saturday night, and it really is everything it's been cracked up to be. More than anything, it's just so modern. The digital screens, the self-checkout lines, Amazon One palm reading technology, comfortable seats, open spaces, glass windows. It just makes it all seem even bigger. I loved it. It was exactly what we had heard. A brand new arena, not some cheap renovation. And I thought it was great. A new arena under the old roof, done to perfection. Unfortunately, the game didn't go as planned. Kraken gave up a pair of one-goal leads before eventually losing 4-2 to Vancouver. They had plenty of chances, played much better certainly than they had on their road trip, but it wasn't enough. Canucks score three times in the third period. History made, though, by Vince Dunn.
Here's Larson, able to swing it across. Dunn lets it fly, and he scores!
Beauty of a first goal ever recorded at Climate Pledge Arena. Both cracking goals, in fact, scored by defenseman. Vince Dunn had the first. The captain, Mark Giordano, had the other. NBA action over the weekend. Portland wins big at home over Phoenix. CJ McCollum with 28 points. No sign yet of either Kyrie Irving nor Ben Simmons. The former won't comply with a local vaccine mandate. The latter says he's not yet mentally ready to play.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
How do you feel about an 88-win Braves team playing for the World Series?
Watson, he's got it to his feet. Throw the first. There it is. The Atlanta Braves are going to the World Series.
It is happening. They're also missing their best player, Ronald Acuna. But they got hot at the right time, knocked off the Dodgers Saturday night. Now meet the Astros, who can secure a dynastic place in history with another championship. Game one tomorrow night in Houston, Charlie Morton against Framber Valdez. Mariners made some moves to clean up the 40-man roster before the offseason begins. The one casualty of note, Shed Long Jr. will be moving on, had a huge moment with the Grand Slam this year, but has now spent 2 years dealing with injuries. A guy who could go elsewhere and succeed, so be prepared for that. He can certainly hit, but hopefully This is further proof of the team's commitment to getting better in the infield, where those five big free agent shortstops are available, plus trade candidates like Jose Ramirez. Those are three things you need to know. We do that every hour at quarter past the hour here on 710 ESPN Seattle. That's kind of a... Go ahead.
No, go. You finish what you thought.
Well, I was just thinking about the Shed Long thing, because it's a bummer. He's kind of a fun guy, right? I mean, like, it's hard not to root for Shed Long. He's a little guy who swings from his shoes, right? He thinks he's just a dude with pop, and he can hit a little bit. He's got the crazy glasses, and he said he's the guy who'd never drank water because he said he doesn't like the taste of it, which I think is a riot, right? Like, he's just a big personality, kind of a fun dude. And it's a bummer when guys like that move on. And his agent even had some snippy comments to make about how he played through injury and maybe that was a mistake because they were letting him go. I don't think it's any of that. I think the Mariners are legitimately committed to getting better in the infield. That's what you want them to do. That's what the players themselves want them to do. It's a bummer that it didn't work out better with Shed Long, and maybe he ends up going somewhere else and turning into Chris Taylor. I doubt it.
Just about to say the same thing.
It could happen, sure. But you are trying to commit to becoming a great organization. So if you end up replacing Shed Long Jr. with Jose Ramirez in a trade, you're going to feel okay. Shed Long Jr. is like a zero war player, and the other guy's like a seven war player. I mean, like, you have to like break some eggs if you want to make an omelet. You have to take some level of risk. I think it's a good thing, even though it's a bummer, because he's a fun guy.
Exactly. I was going to say, it's a bummer because I did really actually like him as a player and on the field. He was always the one celebrating with JP. I love seeing it. Like, he was always at the top step of every you know, big moment. The thing that throws me, though, is that was DePoto's deal, was we were trying to work around young talent. And you just mentioned Ramirez. Yep. I don't know how much older he is than
he's
than
older
Shed.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't have young talent everywhere, right? I mean, if you want to bring in some of the other guys we talk about, right, some of what the Astros did when they brought in you know, whether it was Justin Verlander or I'm blanking on
the
dude's name,
yeah, the guy that crying on the field after finally getting like, his World Series ring.
They have to come at the expense of someone. You only get 26 guys on your roster at one time. You can't have 30. You can't have 50 guys on the 40-man roster, so you have to make some difficult decisions in who you're bringing in and who you're letting go.
Uh-oh.
I completely understand if you've got to let Shed Long go. It's a bummer, but it shows to where you hope the organization is going.
It's like you're taking an early L. WSU did not play Utah. WSU played BYU.
Oh, like there's a difference. Like there's a difference. No, I knew that. I just I may have written that one wrong.
Nah,
BYU,
okay.
Utah.
Now you know.
Yeah. How come they didn't play Utah? Don't you think they should have?
Didn't they play them before? Was it the week prior?
I don't know. They just played
Utah.
Come on. I don't know.
Well, we got to throw this on Kyle, too, because I went by Kyle's office last week.
Yeah.
I was like, are you going out to the Palouse this week?
Yeah.
He's like, yep, Utah. And I was like,
Maybe that's why it was in my head. Dude, I didn't watch the game. I don't have Pac-12 Network. I don't have the ability to watch Washington State. Plus, I don't want to.
Man,
they're not very good.
I was like, UW isn't either.
I quite frankly, was a little upset that they put Washington on ESPN2, so I didn't have an excuse not to watch them. They're terrible. What an awful, awful game to watch. I can't believe the country was subject to watching that.
The UW game was tragic.
They're terrible. I'm going to talk a little bit more about them. That was at 7:10 this morning. That was the worst possible result for them.
They'd have
been better off losing that game. You play so badly against a team as bad as Arizona that everybody is looking at you and wanting to like make major changes, but then you win, so it's hard to justify it. So you allow something that's clearly not working to just continue. That was a terrible, terrible game in every way. Awful. You guys couldn't watch it. I know you didn't, Justin, because you were out getting hammered.
No, I watched part of it.
It was terrible. They looked abysmal. Both teams were. Both teams were just god-awful. And making the rest of the country watch that as some sort of an advertisement for the Pac-12 on a Friday night after dark, ugh. I mean, the Huskies come back and get the win, and good for them. But almost, I think that's a worse result than losing that game. We'll talk a little bit more of that coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I mentioned a former Seahawks coach who last week sure seemed to speak from experience about how the Seahawks needed to adapt. Well, I watched his defense this week, and I'm not sure I'm listening to him about anything anymore. That story and a whole lot more coming up. We'll go around the NFL next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is the Mike Salk Show.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio. Back in mornings from 6 to 10.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
Sound inside Climate Pledge is pretty good, by the way. We're going to talk more about it at 7, but the acoustics in there, the sound quality, pretty spectacular. It was a really fun night on Saturday. I'm looking forward to a whole lot many more to come. It was pretty fun. Yesterday, a day to sit around and watch football all day long with lousy weather and just a good moment. Just sit on your couch, park yourself there, and watch football. Not that it was the greatest slate of games, but it was an interesting one, and I would say we learned quite a bit. So let's take a quick buzz around the NFL, if you don't mind, and I will start with the Rams and Lions. And I feel a little bad for Jared Goff. I do.
I do, too. I said that when I got in this morning. I was like, I started to feel bad for him in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they were obviously, you know, doing everything. Oh, there's some. Hello. There we go. They were doing everything in their power to win that game. They faked two punts successfully.
And the big, what was the other one? The onside kick. Remember that? I was like, what is happening here? They're pulling out every stop they can.
Onside kick, two fake punts, successful.
Weird.
And they almost pulled it off. I mean, they're a terrible team, obviously. They're so close. They have an opportunity coming down the field late, and Jared Goff went all Jared Goff.
Second and 10. Goff hit as he throws for the end zone. Intercepted! Jalen Ramsey with the pick at the goal line!
Dude, I'll say a couple things here. One, Jared Goff's not good. Two, and never really has been. Two, Jalen Ramsey is more Richard Sherman than Richard Sherman. Like, that dude makes huge plays to win games. That's the second game sealing pick he's had this year. Like, he just finds a way in the biggest moments. Not that playing the Lions is the biggest moment, but they're coming down the field. If they get into the end zone there, they're at least putting pressure on you to come back down and kick a field goal in the last minute or two. And they had played pretty well defensively throughout the day. I'm sure Cooper Kupp just would have had three more catches for another 50 yards on the final drive, but he just makes big plays. He's the one who picked off Jacob Eason earlier this year to win that game against the Colts. Like, they get themselves into tough situations, and he just rises to the occasion. He's good.
And he, from all accounts, from what we remember hearing, too, is he's the one that gets every player riled up the most. He's the biggest smack talker, and he's backed it up almost every time.
He is, honestly, almost as Richard Sherman as Sherman is. Maybe more so. I don't know. The other thing I take away from watching that game, I don't know how much of it you were watching, but with the package, I was watching a lot of it. You can run on the Rams. Again, like, there's going to be a common theme here, but as you watch those games yesterday, yeah, passing attacks are fun and exciting, but that whole adage of pass to score, run to win, like, there's a lot of truth to it. And watching a bad team like the Lions look at the Rams team and say, okay, how are we going to hang with these guys long enough to have a shot? They ran the ball against them.
I lost power.
Oh,
so I didn't get to see that far.
Oh, well, I did. I didn't. We lost power for like 1 second yesterday, so everything rebooted. But other than that, like, yeah, you just run on them.
All right.
I kind of think the Lions might be one of the better 0-7 teams we've seen.
That's probably
true. I feel
bad
for them. They keep coming down to the wire every single week.
So that maybe they don't end up going 0-16. Well, they're not going to be the first 0-16 and the first 0-17 team.
Well, yeah, that's right. I forgot. That wasn't that long ago, right? Like 2008?
They go 0-16? Yeah, it was right around there. Dan Orlovsky. Some others.
Cliff Avril was on that team.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Huh. Poor Cliff.
I know. I think that was a year before he came to the Seahawks.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Moving on. Cardinals-Texans as we stay in the division. I mean, the Cardinals just look essentially perfect, but Zach Ertz certainly adds another dimension to that offense. He looked pretty good yesterday.
Wide open. He hit Zach Ertz. Ertz, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Arizona.
Are they the Super Bowl favorites?
Ooh. You willing to say that, or are you just trying to ask?
In the NFC,
I'm asking
the
question.
In the NFC? I was going to say, yeah, you have to say it right now. I was also going to say probably the Packers.
Well, they're going to play this week, so we're going to get a little view, a little preview of what it may end up being in NFC in the Bucs. Those three teams, right? We're going to get to see Arizona against Green Bay on Sunday.
That's right.
Which I'm looking forward to, I got to be honest. That's a pretty good game.
Is it in Arizona?
I think so. Don't quote me on that, but I also don't know the difference between BYU and Utah, so maybe I'm not the guy to ask.
Yeah, it's at Arizona.
Yeah, that is an early preview and a measuring stick to see whether Arizona's legitimate or whether this is just a hot start.
Thursday night football.
Beat Green Bay. Oh, it's Thursday night. Thursday. Even better. Beat Green Bay on Thursday night, and I think that all of a sudden you're looking at them like, all right, they are the new power in the NFC, maybe the NFL. They're right there with Tampa at that point. And you got to look at them and say they're legitimate. Lose to Green Bay. And I, you know,
I'm still not that worried. But did you see JJ's quote where he's rocking on the sideline where the camera caught him?
No.
And he's just screaming like, everybody's trying to make excuses. Maybe we're just really bleeping good.
Maybe they are.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Their offense is sure good. Their defense is good. Their quarterback, I watched the play from him yesterday where, I mean, he should have been
third
sacked.
Third and 24?
I don't think it was that one. He looked like he was going to get sacked twice, made a couple of moves, and then threw to Hopkins, who had, like, essentially given up on the play and was just, like, standing by the sideline. You watch, and you're like, dude, that's just Russell Wilson. I mean, I know we thought Dak was the most Russell Wilson-like quarterback in the game, but it's not. It's Kyler Murray.
That's exactly what it reminds me of, is Russell's first few years.
It's crazy. Just the way he escapes stuff but still keeps his eyes downfield, makes four people miss, and you're like, dude. But he's not doing it to run the way Lamar Jackson is. He's just doing it, and then he looks around and is like, oh, that guy's open. And literally, Hopkins is just, like, hanging out in the sideline. It looked like so many of those Doug Baldwin or Jermaine Kearse plays where you're like, dude, Kearse is, like, just hanging out. But he seems to know what to do and where to go when the play breaks down and Russell starts doing his thing. Yeah, it was they're good, and he really is. Really a lot like Russell Wilson.
A lot of weapons.
So, what's going on with the Chiefs? They lose again, and they didn't just lose to Tennessee. They got their doors kicked in, man.
They're blown out.
They really did. They got completely blown out in that game. Lose to Tennessee badly. Score just 3 points. Patrick Mahomes looking for some sort of an answer.
It's been kind of rainbows and flowers and awesome for these last few years, but whenever you want to build something substantial and you want to build something great, you're going to go through parts like this. And, I mean, people keep saying it's still early in the year. I mean, we can still go get whatever we want, but it's going to take us getting better every single day, because if you get better every single day and play each game play by play, I think we have the talent in this locker room that we can make it happen.
All right, a couple of notes here on this. I want to talk about both these teams because they're both interesting for different reasons. Kansas City's leading the national news today. As they should. People should remember that teams that lose the Super Bowl don't make the playoffs the next year. That's an adage in the NFL, and it generally holds true. You know what's a gigantic exception to that one?
No.
Seahawks, 2015.
Oh, yeah.
And they had every reason that year not to make the playoffs. It's honestly, I cannot believe Pete Carroll didn't win Coach of the Year that year. Teams that lose the Super Bowl don't make the playoffs. And teams that lose the Super Bowl the way the Seahawks did, with the repercussions still being felt today from that one play. Who did you say more just brought it up last week? It was Cliff, right? Didn't Cliff Avril bring it up last week?
He was on Aqib Tlaib's podcast.
It's like, yeah. No matter what, it all comes back to second and goal from the one and the decision that was made. I saw Brady Henderson tweeting yesterday of a play that somebody else ran where it worked out well, running the exact same slant concept. But the other receiver did his job and actually cleared out the cornerback to make room for the underneath guy. I mean, the effects of that play are literally still being felt today. Almost a decade later. Well, 7 years.
It feels like a decade.
It sure does.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, they made the playoffs the next year. Kansas City may very well not make the playoffs this year. They've certainly put themselves into a huge hole. And so, just be reminded of how great a coach Pete Carroll is. I know it's, you know, some questions right now about the future, whether it's about Pete or Russ, and I know that there's people dumping on Pete left and right, that he has kept this team competitive and in the playoffs every year but one, I think is remarkable what he's done.
And that was the year of the Frozen Bowl at the Gopher Stadium in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
That was the Blair Walsh kid. Yeah, that was the wild card game.
Yes.
Then they played Panthers, and then they lost the Panthers, didn't get the
NFC
Championship
had that
game.
Crazy comeback against the Panthers.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yep, now I'm caught up. It feels way, way longer ago with a different roster.
So the other thing note on Kansas City, are they bad because their run game's not good anymore? And Patrick Mahomes didn't get bad.
Well, they have an atrocious defense, too.
That's not helping, but they scored 3 points yesterday. I mean, it's not like they're crushing the offensive side of it either. They look mortal all of a sudden also. And we know Tennessee's defense is good, not great. So it sure seems like the running attack there, and I don't mean to keep coming back to this, but obviously it's a major story here in Seattle and a big conversation of how much do you run the ball versus passing. Well, look at Kansas City. And as their run game has started to falter, so has that offense. On the other side of it, let's take a look at Tennessee. What are they built on? Are they built on Ryan Tannehill cooking? No. They're built on giving the ball to Derrick Henry and let him run wild or even throw for a touchdown pass, which he did yesterday. A little jump pass.
Yeah. Do you see that play of Ryan Tannehill is lined up out at the left side, completely uncovered?
Yes.
It's like, why did he not throw to Ryan Tannehill?
I don't know. And that guy was a receiver in college. Like, he can actually catch and run with the ball.
Good point. The Seahawks did go 2-4 in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Starting. I mean, they were 4-5 at one point in that year.
Yeah, so you get an opportunity to kind of mimic what you did that season. Be another heck of a coaching job by Pete, especially without Russell Wilson for as long as it's been. So, yeah, that's a couple of notes from Tennessee and Kansas City. Justin, I'll turn it over to you as Cincinnati beats Baltimore yesterday, which I think was a surprise and a wake-up call to everybody. As a guy who showed up today wearing a Bengals hat.
No, this is a Bakersfield Blaze hat.
Oh, all right.
This is an old Mariners single-A affiliate.
All right, well, it's got the same color scheme. And
I know, everybody thinks it's a Bengals hat. It's a Bakersfield Blaze hat.
All right.
Yeah, the Bengals are
really good.
Yes, they're really good. And it's, I mean, they're like 2 years ahead of schedule is the way it feels, but Ja'Marr Chase is... changed a lot of things for that team. I mean, I grew up...
Is that what it is? Just adding a receiving weapon?
No. I mean, there's obviously a lot more that went into it, but Ja'Marr Chase is the probably the poster reason for how quickly this team has risen this fast.
That means pretty much all of sports media needs to take the L on that one, because everyone thought they were idiots for not drafting Penei Sewell and working on their O-line after Burrow got beat up last year.
It's true. I've told you this before. We didn't have a team in Montana. My dad was a Seahawks fan. My grandpa was a Raiders fan. My best friend is a Lions fan. I was like, oh, we all just pick a team. So I picked the Bengals as a little kid, and I picked the wrong one, but I'm happy about it.
Rough teams to root for.
I know. Bengals. I was a Bengals and a Mariners fan.
Who picked the Lions? That was a mistake. Who picked the Raiders? They haven't been good in decades.
I know. These teams were just around for a long time. The girl I liked the Vikings. I mean, everybody had their own team.
All right.
Montana doesn't have one allegiance.
You only liked one girl growing up?
No.
All right.
But I'm just thinking of when I established my football team.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
How old were you?
I don't remember.
Elementary school? Are we talking high school?
Well,
when did you choose this team?
I remember being in a bar. It was called the Caboose. It was made out of an old train car.
So you weren't seven?
And no, I walked up. No, in Montana, you can be in bars as a kid until 9 o'clock.
Of course you can.
And maybe that law's changed, but I remember being there. You know the big Monday Night Football posters on the wall, the matchups? I just walked up and picked a helmet. My dad was like, the Bengals? And I was like, makes me like them even more. Your reaction? Yes. And it was the wrong choice.
Yeah, nice. All right, well, we'll see. Joe Burrow certainly looks legitimate. He had over 400 yards yesterday.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic.
Ja'Marr at over 200.
Ja'Marr Chase making a difference for them. Last game, I got two more I want to talk about. Patriots beat the Jets. What was the final score there? 54-7 or something like that? They dropped 50 on them. So let's go back to last week for a moment. Do you remember the Robert Saleh comments that we were reading and talking about? And we were playing Jake's cuts of Jake saying, essentially, and I'll paraphrase it, Saleh was talking about how he had been here as a Seahawks defensive coach, then he was in San Francisco, now he's the head coach of the Jets, and talking about how they created this three-deep zone, right, and how teams eventually started to figure it out, and you had to adapt, and Dan Quinn is adapting, etc. And then there was some criticism of Pete Carroll saying that he hasn't done enough to adapt, right? That Pete's still running the same old system, and to do it right, you really got to adapt. Okay. Well, I haven't seen Pete give up 50 points to a Patriots team that has been scoring challenge this year. So, all right, I understand.
This is what happens to everyone that goes to the Jets.
That is true. Maybe Robert Saleh has just become a Jet, and there's just no way of escaping his fate as a New York Jets coach. But... it's okay that he said it, and we can certainly now have a conversation based on whether or not it's true, but assuming it's gospel just because it was said by Robert Saleh, dude just gave up 50. Oh, I'm sorry, great defensive genius Robert Saleh. I guess Pete doesn't know what he's doing anymore. I mean, okay, he said it, and it warrants some consideration and some conversation, but I don't know whether I'm, instantly believing anything the great Robert Saleh says now.
I didn't get to see any of the highlights of that, but I'm just looking it up now. 54-13.
Yeah.
And what did Mac Jones threw for 300 yards? 300 yards. And Brian Hoyer also.
Brian Hoyer came in through a touchdown.
Yeah. What
You're giving up touchdown
there?
Passes to Brian Hoyer, but by all means, make sure to tell the Seahawks some of their defensive problems
and Zach
come from
Wilson
coaching.
Left hurt.
Well, Brian
hurt?
Hoyer did not throw a touchdown. Kendrick Bourne threw a touchdown.
Hurt?
I think he has a PCL injury.
Is he hurt?
He's actually going to miss time.
I don't know. He's just also not good. Not very good.
I got to work here.
So anyway, I appreciate Robert Saleh's comments. Maybe there's some truth to them, but he doesn't get to preach gospel just because he said it, and he's a head coach. His team gave up 54 points to the Patriots yesterday. And then the last game was the last game. Last night, San Francisco, Indy in a driving rainstorm. San Francisco loses, did not look good after the first drive where they ran it down their throat. Jimmy Garoppolo did nothing, threw a couple of big picks, including the last one, to kind of lose the game. Is there any chance Kyle Shanahan gets fired?
I'd listened to his post game and it didn't sound good.
I saw field goal. Yeah, he had different little, not quite the.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, is your defensive quarterback moving forward? He's like, I would guess so.
Yeah, he just sounded a little resigned to what was going on. I was reading yesterday on Twitter that Jim Mora Jr. had a better record as head coach than he does. That sad. Mike Singletary had a better record as a head coach there than he does, despite taking a team to the Super Bowl. So if he gets fired, play this out with me for a moment. And I don't think that Pete's going to be gone next year, but, you know, there's some of this conversation around who the heck knows. Would you be interested in Kyle Shanahan?
As an OC?
How about as a head coach?
Not yet. I would like him as an offensive coordinator, though.
You think Russ would like him? Like, I don't mean, like, is that a match that would work?
What would make you think that it does or doesn't? I guess, what are pros and cons
for
this?
I look at Shanahan, and I think that he is a really smart guy. He's well-liked. He's got some of that young buzz and vibe that everybody seems to want in a head coach. He also, you know, has been a successful coordinator, certainly in Atlanta. When he left, that whole thing fell apart. By the way, are they going to move on from Matt Ryan? Are they just going to end that experiment? How long are you going to go with Matt Ryan?
When does Matt Ryan retire?
I don't know, but I just, every year Atlanta's bad, and I'm like, why are you still going with Matt Ryan? Like, just move on. I like Matt Ryan.
I'm surprised they didn't draft a quarterback, but right? I don't think he's their issue right now. He's actually been
I'm not saying
there.
He is, yeah. But like.
But I was surprised.
But he's also not the solution. Like, move forward. Anyway,
Josh Rosen.
Especially with a quarterback-heavy draft, I was surprised they didn't.
Kind of weird. Shanahan's a smart guy. People like him. He's got that, you know, young, hip, cool head coach thing going. He certainly has a lot of the, like, creativity and the run game, et cetera. The biggest knock on him have been twofold. One, they keep getting injured. And two, he seems to have a quarterback issue, right? He kind of bet the farm on two guys that don't seem to be working out. What if he had gotten Aaron Rodgers in the offseason like he was trying to? How different does that make it? Right? Like, he's done everything else pretty well there. He's certainly developed a great defensive line. Now, they're hurt sometimes. But there's a lot of talent on that team. You look at the roster and outside of quarterback, wouldn't you say they're better than the Seahawks? I would.
Yeah, defense for
sure.
Their
roster
is better.
If your
question is if Russ would prefer it, yeah, I think he would prefer Shanahan over Carroll.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation, and I don't mean to like fast forward our way into Pete leaving or anything like that, but because there's some of that buzz out there of like, will there be a level of divorce if the season doesn't turn out the way it should? He's just a name I'm going to be keeping an eye on because not everyone succeeds in their first head coaching gig. Sometimes it takes the second, and he might end up being available.
I love the 425. Something in Saul's coffee this morning? Shanahan? Too bad SB losses.
I don't drink coffee.
I
do drink
the
Falcons.
Falcons.
No coffee. Sorry. What'd you say, Maura?
Yeah, the Falcons Super Bowl loss. I still will not understand why they didn't run the ball there. So that's on him.
That's entirely on him?
On Shanahan? The
He wasn't the head coach.
The sack on, But in San Francisco, I think I feel like he's got some kind of curse going on with the injuries.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know. I think it's just interesting. If something were to happen at the end of this year and they are out looking for a coach, like, I see some of the names people start spitting out there and.
Eric Bieniemy?
I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't think so. I just don't see it. So, I don't know. Remember that people who fail in their first gig sometimes succeed after that. In fact, it's likely. Many of the greatest coaches and managers did not succeed in their first gig and were viewed as failures coming into the one where they eventually had great success, whether it's Bill Belichick in his time in Cleveland, Pete Carroll in his time at both New England and in New York. Like, it is not Andy Reid. I mean, like, it's not uncommon for the best coaches to have struggled in their first gig and then succeeded in the next one. I think Kyle Shanahan's a pretty good coach. I don't think he's got the quarterback. And I think that maybe he bet on the wrong guy or two. I think he certainly had an injury curse. I'm with you, Maura. But hey, pretty good coach. I'll keep my eye on it there. That's our trip around the NFL. Tend to do that on Monday morning. It's kind of an extended version today with the Seahawks not playing.
Do you think the weather tonight could be as bad as the 49ers game was last night?
Sheesh, I hope not. Are you guys still going to the game tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
If you're going, come by for the End Zone show in Touchdown City. See me and G. Scott
and Stacey. Now, what will you be doing? Is this you're doing fantasy advice?
Yeah, I mean, they're there.
What fantasy advice can you give on Monday?
I think they're doing it for like 2 hours. Oh, I just stopped by for 10 minutes and do some fantasy. So Monday is a good day to look at the waiver wire.
Oh, okay.
So we can
Anybody good?
Yeah. I picked up CJ Uzoma from the Bengals actually this weekend because my tight end was on a bye.
Oh.
24 points. Oh. Just randomly picked him up at 1 a.m. Saturday night.
Impressive.
After I got home from the crack.
There you go.
He's out there.
It's a good thing you didn't go out with Justin and Lefko. You wouldn't have had those 24
points.
You'd
have had a lot of fun, though, I tell you that.
Text message here says, Shanahan and Cam next year equals Salk, the most hated sports radio guy in Seattle. Oh, like I need Shanahan and Cam to make that happen. I can be hated even without those guys around here. So, yeah, go visit Maura tonight leading up to the game. She'll be with G and Stacey in Touchdown City. That's indoors, right?
Yeah, it's in like the Wamu Theater side, right?
Good.
As for Justin's question, I hope it's not as bad as, I mean, yesterday was so weird. There were parts of the day where it was just awful out and torrential. And then other parts, like we went for a walk yesterday at 5 o'clock. It was beautiful out. I mean, absolutely gorgeous, perfect blue sky, just an amazing day. So I mean, who the heck knows what you're going to get tonight at 5:15. But Seahawks are going to have to find a way to win this thing, right? You think they do it with their offense or their defense tonight? Like who's the pressure on for the Seahawks, their offense or their defense?
That's a good question. And I was going to say it depends on the weather, too, for this.
What did you say, Maura?
Defense.
You got to win with your defense, right? I'll tell you, you got to find a way to like get the ball away from Jameis Winston. That guy threw 30 picks.
I was going to say, he gives it away most of the time.
He threw 30 picks in 2019. That is an insane number. By the way, in that year, he played the Seahawks in overtime, no less, and still didn't throw a pick.
He didn't throw a pick the game against the
Seahawks? No, he threw for 335 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks against the Seahawks. He threw for 30 in the other 15 games that year. He was averaging 2 a game unless he was playing the Seahawks this year, that year. Find a way to turn these guys over, man. You got to come up with the ball. You got to find a way to pick the ball late. You got to make Jameis Winston remember that he's Jameis Winston. That he turns the ball over. He lives to do that. He's a gunslinger, man. And he makes bad mistakes. You've got to take advantage of them when they come around and find ways to do it. I'm with you, Maura. This is a defensive thing, man. Your offense is Geno Smith. Hopefully you run the ball and keep it close.
And
your defense has to step up and get the ball away from Jameis Winston.
No Taysom Hill tonight either.
No. So you've got every opportunity to win this game at home Monday night. They're a dome team. You may get the benefit of some bad weather. Let's go. Step up
your
game.
They told us they made some improvements last week. Let's see for sure.
100%
agree. We think they may have, but they're playing, what, like 40-year-old Ben Roethlisberger?
Well, now you're playing a guy who hopefully you can get to.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you can't possibly even pressure Ben because you have no chance of getting there.
Who can?
But maybe you have an opportunity to get at Jameis Winston and maybe force him to make a mistake. All right. More on that coming up in a half hour at 7:30. Before we get there, Climate Pledge Arena is open for business. And it has raised the level of expectations for attending a sporting event forever. We'll take you inside next. Mike Salk Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.